Well, it is my favorite time of the offseason, the days leading up to the NFL draft when everybody's guessing. We're not going to guess here. We're in the studio, Dave Spadaro, Howie Roseman, Eagles general manager. And I mean, I'm just going to come out and say it. Who the heck are the Eagles taking in the first round, Howie? Why not? That's the question everybody wants to ask you.
There is no draft process without Dave Spadaro being part of it.
Thank
The
you very
energy
much.
he brings,
Thank
you
you very
know,
much.
the scenarios he brings. We couldn't do our mock drafts without you, Mark.
Thank you very much. But the truth is, as you sit here today, what do you have? A list of five, six, whatever, how many names? But you don't have a guy that you're going to say, we're going to take him.
You don't know. You
How
don't
does
know
it work?
what you don't know. You have good guesses. You have educated guesses about what's going to go on in front of you. But you stack your board 1 through 4. You're very comfortable with taking any of those guys in that order, and then you call it a day.
And do you feel like you know what the first three teams will take at this point?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
You know, it's a game of chicken right now. It's poker. So you have an educated guess on what you think they're going to do. You think you know with a good deal of certainty, probably three of those guys are going to come off, but there's always surprises.
How many scenarios do you run through between now and next Thursday? Does it continually change in terms of who might offer this or this? We might move up, down, whatever.
We want to be in a position when we're on the clock in the first round, even in the second round, where we've gone through every scenario so that it's not something out of left field where we're trying to make this decision on the clock under pressure without having thought through it. So we'll have a sheet sitting next to us that will go over all the scenarios that we've talked about and say what we do in that scenario if we got that, where we'd walk away from, what picks we're comfortable taking, if the value's there on the pick. And that's what we'll use on draft day.
Okay, so let's use last year as an example. You
Perfect.
Trade up first round to select Fletcher Cox.
Okay.
And I remember asking you prior to the draft, just that day, hey, Howie, would you move up to the top 10? And you said no. Because I guess in your mind, you knew that Fletcher would still be there after 10. At what point did you have that on the table, the offer that you eventually took?
We had spoken the day before with the Seahawks and had a deal in place where if there was no player that they needed to select at that pick, and the player that we wanted to select was there, this is the compensation. Because what happens when you're on the clock, when you're starting to negotiate on the clock, those seconds start to tick down kind of quick there. So having that deal in place allowed us to be able to go with a comfort level and then not have to trade up a little further and start negotiating because we knew the terms of the compensation. Can't
And
tell you we weren't sweating while Kansas City was picking.
I'm sure, right. And the point is here that it is not until the day before the draft when you had a framework in place for a possible scenario that was all contingent on the kid being there.
And that was unique for me, being in the draft room for all these years, having a trade in place the day before. Normally, you talk about it in general terms, and then as the picks start going off, you get more specific.
Howie, what goals do you have for this draft?
When you're picking fourth, you want to get a cornerstone player. So no matter what position it is, you're hoping that this is a player who can be here for 10 years, who can be a player you pencil in and just feel really confident that he's going to be at that spot for a long time.
Is it offense, defense that you feel like you need to address more? Or is it both? Is it the entire roster?
You want to stack the board in the order of best available player. So for us, if the grades are close, you're going to take maybe the position priority. But where we're picking, it's clear to us who the four guys are that are in the discussion, and we'll pick them off one by one.
Do you see the draft in tiers in the early parts?
We do.
Yeah.
We see it comes a point in the first round where we think that there will be similarly graded players to guys that we can get at the top of the second round.
And that seems to be the key to whether, I guess, you'd move up or down, right?
It does. For us, there is a level that we would not feel comfortable coming out of this draft with someone we think can make a difference. Now, depending on what the compensation is, if someone bowls us over with a trade that's too good to be true, then you look at that. And we have gone through those scenarios where we're comfortable about moving, what teams we think are teams to target on draft day if we're interested in moving back, and the same thing if we want to move up in the second round, back in the second round, the same sort of scenarios.
Howie's been a very, very aggressive offseason. Can you talk in general? Do you feel like the roster's taken big steps into the direction you want it to go?
What's encouraging is we have a mini camp starting tomorrow, and we have the opportunity during this mini camp to line up with 22 starters. We're not sitting there with a big gaping hole at any spot. And that was part of the philosophy in free agency. We wanted to get good players. We wanted to get players that we felt really good about character-wise, that we thought we knew based on the information that we had on each of these players, maybe someone who had worked with them before or been part of some background with them. And then go into the draft and be able to pick off guys based on who the best player is. Now, that doesn't mean, again, that if guys are tiered together, that we won't take the harder to find position. But at the end of the day, we want to make sure we're not reaching based on something we need.
Okay, very good. And you've interviewed 60 players maybe at the combine?
60 players at the combine.
And then you still can do 30 visits, right?
30 visits, and we've had a chance to go on the road and see a bunch of players with the coaches.
So you feel like the everything's working well, the teamwork that you've got in place, everybody's right where you need it to be.
It's been really unbelievable. When you talk about all the new people who've come into place, not only on the coaching staff, but on the scouting staff as well, just the work together, the sense of team, the sense of unity, the energy that is throughout this building that you keep down here as well.
Thanks, brother. And can I ask you about the quarterbacks, Howie? Last one. I mean, everybody always wants to know about the quarterbacks in this draft. Geno Smith and Barkley and Manuel and Scott and Nassib. And is it a strong group? I mean, it's not the RG3 Andrew Luck crew, Wilson, but Nick Foles in that group as well. Good group?
You have a tendency to go look at the last moment in time to compare it to. So I think it's natural for everyone to compare this draft class to last year's draft class. When all is said and done, I think last year's draft class is going to be looked upon as one of the great draft classes in the history of the National Football League from the quarterback perspective. You don't have a lot of draft classes where the first and second pick are quarterbacks. So I think when we get to a calm place and we evaluate this draft versus the last 10 years quarterback drafts, that puts it in perspective and a lot of good players.